forget not his benefits. I don't know about you, but sometimes I am prone to forget. I think all of us forget much more than we actually remember. It's one of the reasons why we come together together for worship, is to remind each other of who the Lord is, what we have in him, his attributes, his goodness to us, and to experience those things for ourselves in the company of the family of God, which you are a part of that company. And so glad that you are here, so glad that you've joined us online, and we see you out there in the cafe. There's a lot going on in the cafe out there, so the rowdy people, they keep them out in the cafe. So there are some rowdy people in here too, but welcome to you who are downstairs as well. There's some people down there. That's a completely masked experience for those who want that. So, all right, well, this time we're going to dismiss the kids. So, kids, you are dismissed to go off to Children's Church. So grateful that we have them with us, and grateful for our workers who are downstairs and ready to go right back there. Well, as they go, I'm going to update us on a couple staff things that are taking place. And so we have a couple of personnel changes here at the church that I want to bring to your attention. So Sue Leslie, longtime children's director and teacher, is no longer serving in that capacity. And we as a church are grateful for her love and her service that has impacted so many children for Christ throughout her, now check this out, 52 years of ministry. So thank you, Sue, for your ministry among us and all the children that you have impacted. And so there's another person that I want to introduce to you this morning, and she just came on staff this week, and this is her. Her name is Corey Whiteman, and she is going to be our new full-time administrative assistant. So we're excited for God's provision of you, Corey. And so Cheryl Galvez, I don't know, she's probably somewhere here, so she's been doing that. She's online, of course she is, serving in that way. She's been serving with Mosaic for at least a decade, and so she'll still be on staff. She's going to move to a part-time role. Corey is stepping in a full-time role, so we see her as an answer to prayer. And I've just gotten to know her over this last week. That bubbly personality, she catches onto things really, really quickly. And so if you call the church, more than likely it'll be her voice. And she's going to be in the office Monday through Thursday-ish, depending on what's happening around here. So we're grateful for her. So why don't you just say hi, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody. Hi. So, yes, I will be answering the phone, so bear with me if I don't know the question. I will look for it and answer it and get back to you if I can. I am looking forward to what God has had in for this church. I'm so excited for the future of what it holds, and I can't wait to get going on everything. So thank you very much, everybody.
All right, Corey, I'm going to give you a hug.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're here. That's okay. So I'm grateful for who the Lord has gifted us with both in the past and currently, and grateful for his goodness in that way. Okay, well, this morning we are returning to our series called The Life Together, where we're talking about what the church is, what the church does, and what our part in it is. So if you do have a Bible, go ahead. Open up to Ephesians. We're going back there. Ephesians chapter 4, as we're going to look at just a couple verses together today from that passage, and we're going to jump down into some other passages as well. So as you remember, God puts us together. The church was Jesus's idea, and the church was built by Jesus, for Jesus, and on Jesus. And he puts us into families and binds us together. Just like this illustration of this house here, we have our various name tags with different names that he puts us in the place as he builds his church with us and through us. God designed his church to display three things. We are together are to display God's grace among us. We together display God's wisdom in bringing so many people together. We also display God's glory among us as he works in us and through us in this place, in various places, and throughout the world. And he ties us together, even though that we are different with different giftings and different callings, brings us together in himself. binds us with one hope, with one spirit, with one calling, with one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all and in all and through all. And so we see that in this passage in Ephesians where God is declaring and describing his church. Now this morning then, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then points to each one of us and how we are gifted. After talking about God's goodness and grace and binding us together, and then he pinpoints each one of us. And so we're going to see that in this passage today. And from it, there's some things that I want you, and God, I believe, wants you to be aware of about giftedness or spiritual gifts. Okay? So here we are, Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. It says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says," and this is a quote from Psalm 68, "when he, which is Christ, ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he, Christ, gave gifts to mankind." We're going to stop there. This is our starting place and our jumping off place. The first thing that you recognize in this verse is we are gifted because of his grace. But grace was given. So this tells us that God's grace was given to us, his gifts were given to us, not because of our goodness, but because of his. It is by his grace that he distributed to each one of us gifts or gifts. That helps us to recognize that what we are given in service to and through the kingdom of God is first and foremost given to us by his grace. We don't deserve what he gives. He gives it because of his goodness to us. So any giftedness that you have should elicit or bring from us thanksgiving to God. God, thank you for how you have equipped me to encourage others or speak your word or to provide hospitality or build up the body of Christ through acts of services or spiritual wisdom or various gifts that we're going to look at today. God gives them to us because of his grace. You are not the source of your giftedness. God is the source. Which makes us both hopefully humble and recognizing what a gift we have and grateful to God for giving us and showing us his grace. We are gifted because of his grace to us. But grace was given. The second part of this sentence we're looking at says, to each one of us. The point being, each one has been gifted. There is no such creature as an ungifted Christian. Thank you for the amen. Every person in this group, in this room, online, and other rooms, you are gifted. Now, at times, you may not believe that. And by the way, the enemy wants to discourage you in that and says that you're not gifted. You can't do anything. You are a mess up and on and on and on. You're not needed. You're not wanted. You're not loved. When God was distributing the gifts, he passed over you. That's not the truth. I can say that 100% based upon the authoritative Word of God. He has gifted each one. I want you to let that sink in today. You are a gifted person. Not just natural talents, but gifted. Every person in this room has gifts given you by Christ Himself. Being given a gift means that, one, there is someone who is greater than us who gives, right? And two, it means that you have significance and you have a purpose. Often people get depressed and discouraged. Often it's because of a lack of hope tied to a perceived lack of purpose. Every person in the kingdom of God has a purpose. And may God illuminate to our hearts how He has formed you and gifted you. And we're going to talk about that this week and next week. And then let us engage with what He is doing on the earth. Jesus ascended, meaning that He is not physically present. But guess who is physically present? You are. And you have the same Holy Spirit in you that formed the world, the wisdom and the power and the grace and the clarity and the goodness of God. We are now the body of Christ. We are that body. You are that body. Specifically here for this season, for this time, carefully crafted to be who you are and carefully given a gift. I want the identity, I want you to identify that you are a gifted person. Not in a proud way. We talked about it's by grace. But in a confident way. Knowing God has gifted you. Each one has been gifted. Now the third part of this verse says this. According to the measure of Christ's gift. Point is, Christ chooses what we receive. Christ is the one who determines what gifts go to who and to what measure these gifts are given. Have you ever been jealous of somebody else? No one's admitting it. I have. Okay. Totally. Why haven't I been given the ability to sing? Why aren't I given the gift to work with children? Why do I have a hard time understanding things and this person is that way? God always tells us to focus in on Him and to trust Him that what He has given to you and to me is right for you and me. We get in trouble when we continually compare ourselves to others. Versus asking the question, are we living to the measure of Christ's gifts in me? It's helpful and comforting for us to know
that Christ himself uses what we receive.
Now I want you to flip over to another passage, and we're going to spend some time here today. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Flip over to that passage. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 13, chapter 14 is the fullest description, instruction, teaching about spiritual gifts. Next week, we're going to look at a passage in 1 Peter. We're going to look at a passage in Romans. We're going to look at some of Jesus' teaching about these things. But in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, being called as an apostle, was helping to instruct this church about these things. There was some confusion, there was some disorder, and so he came to bring some clarity. And I also want you to note that 1 Corinthians 13 is right in the middle of a discussion about spiritual gifts. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 is the one that we often quote at weddings, right? The love chapter. But if you understand in context why it's there, and it is bookmarked between what the gifts are in the body of Christ, and then how they function among us, saying love is the most important thing. Love, how we do and how we're motivated matters, regardless of how fantastic and fabulous the gift of God is in you. God, help us to focus on what is most excellent in doing these things with love. So Christ chooses what we receive. So let's read about this instruction from the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to highlight a few things in this chapter. Now, Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. This is why we are talking about this. I don't want you to be uninformed as well. Now, you know that when you were pagans, don't you like that word? Non-Christians, following the spirit of the age, when you were not following Christ, some of you were led astray to mute idols, worshiping things, valuing things, having ideas about creation, and worshiping idols that could not speak, could not give, did not have power. Mere images. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you first to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed or curses the Son of God. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop there. Sometimes there is confusion as to the Holy Spirit when he comes on us, when he's in us. When does this happen? Is it a secondary work? Is it a primary work? Are there two works? What's the deal? Well, the first thing from this passage, very clear, and this is dealing with salvation, right? No one can declare Jesus is Lord. That is confessing with your heart, confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. This is talking about a salvation experience, someone who comes to faith. We cannot acknowledge the deity of Christ unless the Holy Spirit is working in us. You are not regenerate, born again, without God's Spirit doing it. So you and I and we receive the Holy Spirit. The moment that we come to understand that Jesus is indeed Lord. Ephesians talks about this as well. Having believed, this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Second part of that, I have notes, by the way, for all of these things if you want to follow along or look up passages. It says, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. We're not talking about aquatic animal here. That was a joke I probably shouldn't have said, okay? A seal. You are marked in Him with a seal, a stamp. This one's mine, the promised Holy Spirit. Having believed, you are marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now, even those gathered in the upper room, this is in Acts chapter 2, describes this. All of the 120 were already believers. They already had a measure of the Holy Spirit working in their life when there was this experience of the Holy Spirit coming upon them and empowering them and equipping them to be witnesses. Do you remember this? In Jerusalem and Judea, these are places. Start where you are, go out, Samaria, out farther, and to the ends of the earth. That description tells us that the Holy Spirit and His gifts were primarily given to witness about the goodness and the grace and the power and the identity of Jesus. This is why He equips us to bring glory to the one who deserves it most, and that is not us. Thank you. Often and sometimes we get, what's the right word? Twisted, perverted, per se. I'm not talking in a sexual way, just twisted. Thinking that the gift of God in us is about us. It's for you, but it's not about you. You'll see it's given for the common good. God, use these things you put in me. Bring glory to you. Let's continue to read in verse 4. So first we recognize that He's given us the Holy Spirit. It happens when we come to faith. There's the first working and there's multiple working. Verse 4. Now, there are a variety of gifts. But only one Spirit. There's just the same Spirit, but a variety of manifestations, giftedness. There are a variety of service. Not everyone does the same thing. But we do it for the one same Lord. There are various activities. But it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. In this little section, we see the same wording of the Trinity. Talks about the Spirit, talks about the Son, talks about God the Father. Recognizing that there's a variety of gifts, Christ gives them to whom He wants in the portion that He wants. And we all are given these gifts by the same Spirit, by the same Lord, and the same God. So in our diversity, there is
unity. It's a beautiful thing to God.
Let's continue to read verse 7.
To each is given. To each is given the manifestation, the bringing about of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. And I'm using the ESV version. Your version might be a little different. Same meaning. And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Now, to another, faith by the same Spirit. And this is not saving faith. It's a supernatural power to believe God, to stand firm, to trust, a supernatural empowerment. Now, to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Now, to another person, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions, gives to each one individually as he wills. A couple things here I want to point out. Number one, I mentioned before, the gifts are given for the common good. He gifts you so that you can benefit the greater body of Christ and impact the community. Again, they are for you, they're not about you. They're given to you so that we can then be equipped and use them among each other and throughout the world. It is empowering. Outworking of God's Spirit for the common good. And this is supernatural wisdom. Not just being wise, but being able to see things that are beyond ourselves and understand things that we would not be able to do so if it were without the Spirit of God. Supernatural knowledge, supernatural faith. Supernatural healing. Supernatural miracles and prophecy. Supernatural empowered discernment. Supernatural tongues. Supernatural of the understanding of tongues. All of these are given by the same Spirit. And by the way, this list is not exhaustive. There are other lists in Scripture. The point being, God has not left us on our own. He has given us His Spirit and He has empowered you. When you ask for the Holy Spirit, God will give you the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about in a parable, talking about you who are wicked, you wicked parents. When your child asks you for an egg, you don't give them a scorpion or something bad. Jesus was talking about God. God the Father is a good Father. And if you ask for Him, He will give you the Holy Spirit. So ask, God, renew and pour out your Spirit on me again this day. Scripture talks about being renewed and continually renewed by the Holy Spirit. I see it like a vessel that God pours in and we have a responsibility to pour out. And sometimes I'm a leaky vessel, right? God, fill me anew this day. Give me anew this day. Help me anew this day. There is a continual renewal of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, and we ask God, may your kingdom come. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. God, empower us with your presence. Make us a people of praise for the common good. And again, he apportions, give to each one individually as he wills. Now you'll see in this passage later on, 1 Corinthians 12, also in 14, Paul instructs us to desire the greater gifts. So there's an instruction to ask for. But in recognition that God is the one who gives you the gifts that he wants you to have. And I've been to places where it's like, this is the gift, and you have to get this one. Who says you have to get that one? I pray for people all the time. I'm confident that God answers the prayer, that God, you will fill them with the Holy Spirit, not because of my prayers, but because of his goodness. Gifter. God does what he wants. Now, there's a gift that I've wanted for a long time. Guess what it is? Healing. Yeah. Gift of healing. Do you say healing? Gift of beauty? Kay, I love you. That was wonderful. God bless him with a gift of beauty. That was really funny. All right, well, we'll end right there. Pray for our pastor, the gift of beauty. Hair, yeah, the gift of hair as well. Thank you, Jesus, right? I'm glad God doesn't care what we look like. I've asked God actually for the gift of healing for a long time. Wouldn't that be great? There's some of you who have that gift. I don't. Do I anoint people with oil? Absolutely. Do people get healed? Yes. Very, very infrequently in my prayer time is someone has really been healed miraculously. Now, it has happened a couple times, but I ask. But I don't bemoan that. I thank God for the gifts that he has given me. God, help me to develop to be able to speak your word clearly. God, help me to encourage people. God, help me to lead well. Focus on the gifts that God has given you. And ask for others, and he may grant, but we all have to trust him. So he gives gifts. And sure, you're asking, I'm sure, well, what gift do I have? Some of you know, or what gifts do you have? Some of you know. Some of them are latent, that you haven't used them for a while. We'll talk about that next week. Time to engage. There are ways to discover some of these things, and we'll put some links in to the Cross Point connection next week on Thursday, places you can look to go that will help discern. You can talk to others. You can ask God, show me what these things are. You are gifted, and you're responsible for that gift as well. He gives these things. And as we continue to read, we come to this point that every member matters. Thank you. I want you to hear this. Verse 14. For the body, describing the church as the body of Christ, you see that in Ephesians, we see it here, for the body does not consist of one member. I'm a part of this, you're a part of this. Church is not about one person. It doesn't consist of one, but many. Just like our body. Now, if the foot should say, well, because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body. Would that not make it any less a part of the body? Someone says, well, because I don't have that gift, you know, I'm not a part of the body. That's foolishness. And if the ears should say, well, because I'm not the eye, I don't belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. What if the whole body were an eye? Then we wouldn't have any sense of hearing. What if the whole body were an ear? Then we wouldn't be able to smell. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single eye, a single member, where would the entire body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Diversity seen in unity. Don't you love that? We need people in all sorts of capacities that make up the body of Christ to function well. Some of you are physically strong and you can help others who are physically weak. Some of you understand Scripture and understand languages and you help other people. Some of us serve donuts, and some of us help park cars, and some of us give phone calls or write cards, and some of us encourage people, some of us open our homes, some of us serve by cleaning toilets, planting flowers, giving dignity. Every ministry matters. I want you to know that. I want you to feel that. I want you to live that. God, may you bring great diversity that's inside of unity. That's the wisdom. Colors, different languages, different gifts, a working in harmony. The world needs to see that, and we need to experience it. Glorious. All this but saying, and we're going here, and there's more in that chapter. Then Paul says, choose the way of love. And I already mentioned it. And notice the language in this chapter. He's talking specifically about these gifts and the better way of love. He starts, well, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if I am a very gifted prayer and communicator, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Who cares? And if I have prophetic powers, and if I'm gifted and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so I can move mountains. But if you don't have love, you are nothing. If I give away all I have, this is the gift of giving, generosity. You give away every single penny. And if you give your body, your life, as a martyr to be burned, but you don't do it in love, you gain nothing. Let that sink in, right? It's not about how gifted you are, but how loving you are. Why you do what you do? The only person that can stop you from loving well is you. Not the giftedness counts, but it only counts when we're doing it because we love other people. Have you ever served out of obligation? I'll talk about myself. But have you? Yeah, I'm sure. Served begrudgingly. Given because you feel like you have to. First deal with your heart, and then express your gift. That's why Scripture says God loves a cheerful giver. And if you cannot serve Christ and the body of Christ and the world without love or joy, you better check yourself. I want you to stop. Yeah, I'm saying that. I'm more concerned about who you are than what you give. That's just a pastoral moment right there. I'm more concerned about your heart versus your gift. And we put gifts up here. We need gifts, but more importantly, it's the heart that matters. So regardless of how gifted you are, and you are all gifted, choose the most excellent way. You see how this fits in context? The way of love. Love bears all things, believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Love never ends. So I'm going to pray for a baptism of the Spirit and empowering, but a heart that is in love with our Savior and expresses its love to other people. The fruit of the Spirit is important. Come on, Dave Wilson, wherever you are, teaching a class on it. Gifts are important. But why you do what you do matters most. So God, help us to have His heart. God, help us not to be grumpy givers. Help us. So this week and next week, I'm going to invite two people, just as illustrations, to give an example of people among us and how they use their gifts so that you can be thinking about your life. One, I want you to think about your heart. And then two, how can I use what God has gifted me with, not just on Sunday mornings, but every morning. So just ask two people, and I'm going to have Eric Fish, come on up. Come on, Fish. And your entourage. No, I'm just kidding. Come up here, Eric. This is Eric. Thank you for his kindness to him. And so I've known Eric a long time, and I've seen him work in the church, but outside of the church. And so could you describe for us a gift or a gifting that the grace of God has given, and then how that works in your life and what it looks like. Is that fair? All right, do it.
Of course, it's all by grace. And one of the scriptures talks about how God chooses the fools. So, I'm a fool. And the grace He's given me to redeem, to restore in all areas of my life, I mean, it's powerful. And it starts with His great love for us. As Dave was mentioning, these scriptures. And we all, like Dave said, we all have these gifts. All of us. They're beautiful. He says, therefore I urge you, my brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as holy and living sacrifices. To take our time. At first, I was like Dave, oh yeah, oh my gosh, I got to do this, I got to do that, oh my gosh. After doing it, that joy is complete. And I have these guys that I pick up. God knows how weak I am. He continually puts me around strong believers. So I come in these doors because I've already been sharpened by my brothers and my sisters, Pam and so many people. But with that being said, I have a responsibility when God calls you to do something. I can't just say, oh, I'm not going to church today. I got other people to pick up. So it becomes more of a honor and a privilege to be called, to serve, to love one another, to encourage one another, just as you guys are doing, many of you are doing. And with the Fish Able Foundation, it's put me in a position to be encouraged by these guys. I want to use one example by the love. Mario and Lenny work at Milestone. Let's give it up for Mario and Lenny. This is Lenny. And this is Mario. We look at everything as a family. And these two guys went and started to sell money, or to raise money. They started to sell root beer floats at Milestone. And every, was it once a week, guys? So it was every Friday or something? So every Friday they sold all these root beer floats. And you guys remember how hot August was? That's when they were doing it. And they helped raise $500 for the Fish Able organization. These guys right here. That should inspire all of us. It's an organization that gets them to church. It's an organization, we do a Bible teaching in 6 months out of the year. It's an organization that brings people together, community, like Dave was talking about. We have these outings, and it's all God-given. All of it. And I've seen so many people stepping out of your comfort zone because that's what it's going to take. We have to step out of our comfort zone. We have to move forward in the Spirit. And there is opposition. But through that opposition, we will mature and we will grow stronger and become the people God created us to be, to love one another.
Amen. Thanks, Eric. All right. That's enough. So Eric, by day, he drives a bus for paratransit, and so he has a gift of encouragement for sure. And so he tells me that throughout the day he prays that God will bring divine appointments to him, right? And you can pray that way. God, bring me in the path of someone this day that I can encourage or can bless. And so he'll tell me, man, the Lord will line up his schedule, and then another person comes in, and he starts talking and sharing, and then another person goes out, another person comes in. So expressing the gift of encouragement and love, and he's a teacher and hospitable and lots of things. So he does this every day, day in and day out, on the job, on nights and weekends. It's pretty incredible. Another person I want to highlight is Nan Hansen. Is she here, Nan? There she is. Yay for Nan. She is our greeter extraordinaire. And she is thrilled to death to say some things up front here. She says, pray for me, Pastor. Because she loves you all and loves me, she said yes. Because she doesn't necessarily like being up front, but don't at all. But she is an incredible, incredible lady. And so, you know, if you could tell, just as an example, you know, what you do and what God does. And I'm asking her to do this because she's like, she doesn't want, no one, you know, wants this type of attention. But, and how that works out in your life. Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I am really glad to be one of these bricks. Hold it up.
In this house. I love this church. I really do. I love the people in this church. As Pastor Dave said,
you can just hold it just there. Okay, just thanks. They want to make sure they're catching your voice. Yeah, I know it's
Are you okay?
I know it's hard.
All right. All right. Now I forgot what I was going to say. The gifts that God gives us is not a natural talent, just absolutely not a natural talent. It's a gift.
Yeah.
And so those who know me well know I'm a major introvert. I like to be by myself. I reveled in the COVID shutdown. That was a gift to me. I really did.
Yeah, okay.
So when I say I have the gift of hospitality and encouragement, that is a gift.
Yep.
It's not me. It's a gift. So we are a church blessed with encouragers. We really are. I'm amazed at the encouragers in this place. But what encouragement looks like, it's loving on one another. Like walking in this building and knowing somebody's name and saying, hi, Janet, you know.
Yeah.
People love to hear their name. They need to be known. Somebody knows me and cares about me. So I challenge you to learn more names. Get to know who our new people are from all sides. And so knowing people's names, loving on them, hugging them even if they don't want to hug. Listening is a big thing to encourage. And really listening, not just thinking of something and listening, but listening. Listening enough to ask questions. So how did that go? You know, how are you in this?
Yeah.
So listening.
Yeah.
And it can take the form of prayer. If somebody needs prayer, Liz knew of somebody who needed prayer today. So we encourage that person by praying. Sending cards. If the Lord brings an idea or a person to you, just shoot them a text. How are you? You know, what are you doing? Call them. So that's kind of the forms of encouragement. Another encouragement is the Lord has put me in several Bible studies. 28 years ago when we moved to our neighborhood, we were looking at a house, and I said, Lord, I really like that house. And he said, well, if I let you have that house, will you do a neighborhood Bible study? And I said, yes. And so we got the house. And not knowing many of the neighbors, I had to go knock on doors, which scared me, spitless, it really did.
Sure.
And people said yes, and it shocked me. But I've had a study in our neighborhood for most of our 28 years we've been there. And I would send Byron out. Byron and Hildy go walking, our dog go walking. And I would say, go be missionaries in the neighborhood. So this summer he comes and tells me, I've recruited more people for your Bible study. So I had to start another Bible study because they recruited more people. But the Bible study is, the encouraging part is, it's a community, a small community that you can be safe with, you can share your heart with. You have people to pray for you and love you no matter what. You've got somebody to go to if you need help. So that's just some of the encouraging things. And hospitality. Hospitality is just opening your home. I do not like to cook. I cook, but I do not like to cook. So a lot of times, Byron and I would do hot dog roasts or bratwurst, and you have people bring the food. So, or, you know, just order people over for pizza or take them out for ice cream and then sit in the backyard, you know, and chat. So hospitality can take many forms. And I think that's it.
Great.
So thank you.
Good job. Thanks, Dan. Bless ya. Okay, we're going to come in for a landing here, and the musicians are going to come on up. And so this is what I'm asking for you to do. We're going to talk more next week, because there's, you know, goodness, we could talk about this for months. It's taken at least a few Sundays. So I'm asking you to do a couple things. One, take what you heard today, and then apply it and ask the question of yourself or perhaps others. How has God gifted me? And then
I want you to do a heart check. Where is your heart? Where is my heart? In relationship to the great commandment of loving the Lord our God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Perhaps we've gotten a little calloused because of hurt that has taken place. Perhaps we've gotten a little less zealous than we once were. I was thinking of that in worship this morning, saying, God, I would renew my commitment to you. Perhaps we've just gotten worn down over time, and we're tired, and so we need to be refilled again. Perhaps you've never explored and said, well, I don't think I'm very gifted. And again, you are gifted. Ask God, then how can I express this gift? And there are more. I'm going to talk about more next week. Okay? Today was not an exhaustive list. And then do that. So I'm going to pray for us right now, and we're going to conclude with a song. And just to remind you, every week there are people here that are available to pray with you for specific needs. We also pray in the morning, 9 o'clock, and we pray for not just what is spoken. We pray for what happens in the cafe, interactions in the pews. We pray for all types of things. The ministry happens among us and with us. And through us all. And so I'm going to ask that God would continue to do greater and greater things for his glory. So God, here we are, your people, gathered in rooms in this building and online. Father, we're grateful for your word and struck by your goodness to us. Jesus, you could have just done your work of giving your life as a sacrifice for our sins and just left. But you gave us your Holy Spirit in abundance. And you empowered us and enabled us with gifts as we are now your body, continuing your ministry. In your mission. God, I thank you for this family that is here in this building. I thank you for each one. And God, as I've asked, Lord, I ask that you would work in our hearts, God, that we would think about what we've talked about today from your word, that we would consider your grace and your gifts. And then we would ask and further explore how God has equipped each one of us. And God, that we would look to our hearts and say, hey, where are you at? Where am I? And with your gentle and powerful leading, God, help us to respond to you in our world of your love. So God, I ask that there be an explosion of gifts and gift expression in this place. God, I ask that you would fill each person with your spirit even now. More grace, faith, and unleashing of your spirit in us, among us, and through us. Thank you for the testimonies of faith we've heard today. Thank you for the faithfulness of people who have served here for years, and new ones that are joining with us. May you be glorified in all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's rise together as we sing.